Well, good evening. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study here at the Lighthouse. Whether you're joining us online or here in the building, we're thankful that you're with us. Give everybody a minute to find their seat. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, church. It's good to be here tonight. And I am thankful that we serve a good God. Amen. He's good when we're not. Amen. So how many of us have been enjoying the stewardship series or getting something from it? I know I have been gleaning from the stewardship series, applying these things to my life, and I see God doing good things through that. How many are ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow? Halfway? Okay, that's better than just starting. You got a little bit of time to get there, I hope. But how many's ready for more Thanksgiving on Friday? Thanksgiving leftovers, those are still pretty good on Friday, right? Amen. That's a good thing about cooking too much for Thanksgiving. You don't have to worry about food for the weekend, right? It's just a smooth weekend all the way around. So we're going to start the final portion of our stewardship series tonight, and it's on spiritual wellness. So I want to encourage you all to please come with your questions, comments. Also, if you're using the side aisles, the mics are on the chairs tonight. So the center mic has a stand. The two on the side aisles are on the chair, so you can pick that up. They're on. Feel free to use it. Set it back down. All right. So this spiritual wellness section is broken up into three groups, and the first one is assessment or awareness. So I think in order for us to understand where we are spiritually, we have to give ourselves a spiritual assessment, right? We have to be aware of where we are to know which direction we need to go, right? Makes sense. So I want to start out with saying this, and remember, this is under the heading of spiritual wellness, and we're assessing, we're making ourselves aware of what's going on in our lives and where we are. But whatever we give our attention to, we often give permission to shape who we are. I want to say that again. Whatever we give our attention to, we often give permission to shape who we are. And the poet Mary Oliver said, attention is the beginning of devotion. So it's important for us to be mentally aware of what is going on in our brains, what our thoughts are, which direction they're leading us. Because if we're not careful, we can have a thought come by and we can begin to entertain that thought and give attention to that thought. And it can begin to affect us if we're not careful. Does that make sense? I know a lot of times in a day, and I don't remember how many thoughts pass through the human brain in a day. It's just an astronomical number. But we have to be careful about what we allow ourselves to dwell on. Also, we need to be careful of what we're putting in our minds, especially in the day and age that we live in, where godliness is few and far between. It's hard to find an ad or a billboard, especially ads on our phones, that are godly. We talk about the news a little bit and we see a lot of negativity there, and if we're not careful, we can go down a path that begins to tear down what God is trying to do in us. So what we let into our mind helps shape who we are. And I didn't even ask this tonight, but does anybody need a paper, an outline of this lesson? If you do, raise your hand. I'm sure Sister April can get you one. I forgot to ask that in the beginning. Looks like everybody's good to go. Okay. So again, I want to say what we let into our mind helps shape who we are. And we have to think sometimes, what are we putting or allowing into our minds? And I don't know about you, but God recently has taken me on this journey of what I want to say of growth. He's making me aware of things that are in my life that are hindering my relationship with Him. And so, I don't know, I just want to share this testimony. About a month ago, and it probably started before that, maybe 6 months ago or so, but I've always been very careful about what I let my mind dwell on, and very careful about what I let in my mind, what I expose myself to, because I understand the impact of it. And so, like I said, about 6 months ago, there would be times when I would lay down at night to go to sleep and thoughts would begin to come in my head. And I would feel frustrated. I would feel aggravated. I was at a point where I could not control those thoughts. I could not take a hold of them and control them. They were controlling me. I could not do anything about it. I was helpless on my own to do anything about this frustration and this aggravation. And really, sometimes it was confusion that I had let come into my life. And so I began to ask myself these questions because I didn't like being in this place. God, where is this coming from? At what point in my life did I give permission for these things to come in? And the answer that I got was not a right away immediate, oh, it's right here. It's right here. This is easy. No, it wasn't easy because it took a long time for these things to build up in my life. And so I realized that I had been giving too much of my attention to my job. And I was dealing with a lot of frustration, growing pains and things, you know, at my workplace. And so there was a lot of frustration that had built up. And I had allowed that to affect my relationship with God. And I'm sure it affected my relationships in the home, you know, with my wife and my children. And so I had not been paying close enough attention to what I was letting into my mind. I didn't draw that line and say, okay, I'm going to stop this right here. And we can apply this to other areas of our lives as well. I'm just using work as an example because this is where I was at. And so God doesn't want us to be frustrated. God doesn't want us to be aggravated. God wants us to have peace, right? He wants us to have His peace. And when we allow the things of this world to come in and infiltrate our minds, it will disrupt and disturb the peace that God has for us. Amen? So I wanted to share that because, you know, we don't always relate what we give our attention to things that are a necessity. So for me, a necessity is work. I have to go to work. And just to share with you too, God's been giving me some other instruction about it. So when we begin to pray, God, what is going on in this situation? Why am I experiencing this? Why am I going through this? It's a process, and God will begin to speak to you about it. That's why it's important, as Bishop Ming came a few weeks ago to the Refuel Conference, and he was speaking about hearing from God. If we're not hearing from God, we're not going to be growing in God. We just won't do it. It's just not possible because our relationship with God has been stopped somewhere for some reason. And it's important that we do this assessment and we make ourselves aware of where we are in our relationship with God. And we assess what we have going on in our lives and we say, okay, this is a necessity. This is a non-necessity. This is something that I have to do. I have to do these things as well. Now let's prioritize. And God, help me in my mind to make sure that these things are in the order that they need to be in so that I can serve you with my whole heart like you want me to. That I'm not hung up on these things over here that I can't get past, so I need to grow in you. and I haven't arrived yet, okay? But I'm growing in that direction because I want and I see the need to grow in God, as we all should. Now, were there times of frustration? Absolutely. There were times in the morning, I'm like, during my prayer time, God, what is going on? Because I feel this separation. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that here in a little bit. So something else that I wanted to point out here, we know that we are in a world that is full of sin, right? Amen? The world is full of sin. So it's difficult for us because we have to swim against the current of this world, right? If we just coast in this world, we're going to end up someplace that we don't want to be, right? The current is going to take us away from God. So it is a struggle for us. We're fighting against this world. We're in this world, even though we're not of it, and it can have an effect on us, right? Okay, all right. So 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11 says this. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. And I think these scriptures are alluded to in here, but they're not actually written down. So 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. Get my phone to come back here. It says this, "Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him." So I realized in this time of growing that, or maybe I guess I was reminded that God is my strength. So when I'm not enough, he is enough. So I need to find that place where I can draw that strength from God. Amen. And there was another scripture in here, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. That's not the right scripture. Do you have that printed in your text? Or in the lesson? Okay. Well, I must have wrote the wrong one down. Y'all have to forgive me. A little bit later on down, we're going to go to Psalm 139, Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 through 24. But we need to continue to look into the Word of God, and we will see our true reflection. And this is part of our assessment and part of our awareness also. Because if we aren't looking into God's word, we're going to think we're okay. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I know I've been there, you begin to walk away from God, and the further you get away from God, sometimes you can think you're okay. Because I'm doing my own thing. I'm doing okay. I'm a good person. I don't hurt people. I look out for people. I help them. And that's all good and well. But it's when we are in the presence of God that we realize our need for Him. It's when we get into His presence and into His Word that we realize our need for Him. We realize that we're a broken people. We realize that we're a sinful people and we need a Savior. So it's important to take these evaluations and assess our lives, where we are, and give ourselves some goals. How many of you have ever given yourself a goal to grow in God? Anybody have something they want to share? Well, one of my goals was, God, I'm not sure I'm hearing from you. So one of my goals was, God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear you speak to me. And so I think that's a very good goal. Does anybody else have anything that they want to share? Maybe some things that you've realized in your walk with Christ, God brought you to a place of assessment or a place of awareness that showed you an area in your life that you needed to improve on. We're going to share, oh, Sister April.
Yeah, I think to really think about the Bible, you know, you have to read it to know what it says. You have to allow God to show you things in it. It's not like you sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to read this book today. You know, you have to start in a small place. You know, there's a lot of scriptures that you, or a lot of Bible verses, apps that can help you to do that, to read a chapter a day, to walk through a Bible plan. But you must put it in, and don't worry about not being able to bring it back. God will teach you. He'll bring it back to the things that you need to know. But I think the biggest thing is we have to remember is that the Bible tells us many times to watch your mind, watch your thoughts. As a man thinketh, so he shall be. You know, God knows that the mind is very powerful. He created it, you know, and we have to make sure that we understand these things because, like Brother Jesse was saying, there's so many thoughts that come into your mind, you know, and just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to be thinking godly thoughts all the time. But he gives us the scriptures that says in 2 Corinthians, let me go there real quick. I want to make sure I read it right because I can give you the April version, but it's not always 100% right. But it says, we are human, but we don't wage wars as humans do. You know, this is talking about, you know, we're here and it's the battles in our mind a lot. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. Well, the only weapon we have from God is the sword, which we know is the word, to knock down all the strongholds of human reasoning, and we destroy the false arguments in our mind. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps us from knowing God, recapture those rebellious thoughts, and we teach them. We have to teach ourselves to obey Christ. You have to teach yourself. You can't think that way. You know, you have to make yourself new. And then in Philippians, sorry, this is something that God really helped me because I came from a really rough home, rough thinking, rough talking, rough family. I'm a ruffian, as you could say. And so I had to teach myself, just because you hear those things and just because you were taught those things, that's the way people are talking all the time around you. That's not necessarily what God wants you to do. That's not what he wants you to think about yourself. That's not what God intended for you. And so he says in Philippians 4:8, he says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise, and keep putting into practice all that you've learned and received from me. Everything that you've heard and everything that you saw, then God of peace will be with you. So I think that this is really good to, you know, to know what you're thinking, to assess yourself and not be afraid, even if it seems like it's every second, because I know when I first got saved, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know where all this stuff is coming from. Mm-hmm. Has this always been here? This is really junky, you know, until I loved when Pastor Debbie last week, or what day was it? She said, when you face that person that really irritates you, well, when you look in the mirror, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That is so good, to be honest with yourself, to assess your mind and realize you can be your own worst enemy. You have to really get in the word, assess yourself, and know that you have to teach yourself. You have to do it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And our flesh is going to fight against the spirit, right? So we need to get our flesh under control. Pastor Alicia.
When you were asking, like, if anyone has set goals, and I've shared this before, but I think it fits really well here. There was a time in my life when I was being disobedient to God because it was uncomfortable or because I was insecure. And there came a point where God said, stop. Stop telling me no. And so from that point forward, that was a goal in my life. Like, God, I don't want to tell you no again. I don't want to disobey, because we can make it sound better when we're talking about ourselves, but the truth is it's just pure disobedience.
Right.
And we can make excuses that make sense to us, but to God, they don't make sense. And so I think everybody, you have to be intentional about looking at yourself, because it's really easy to look at other people, and you don't even have to try. You can just see their flaws. You can just see what needs to change in their lives. But because you live with yourself every day, you don't always see it so clearly. And when you're changing, you don't always see it so clearly, whether good or bad. You start slipping one direction, or you're intentionally growing the other direction, but you don't even always notice the change unless you're really evaluating and looking for that change and being intentional about everything you're doing.
Yeah, that's really good. And it is a gradual thing. The enemy of our souls is willing to, over years, chip away at what God has built. Amen. There's a song, and I think it's by Casting Crowns, and it's called Slow Fade. It usually doesn't happen all at once. The enemy will begin to pull you away and pull you away and pull you away, and before you know it, you don't realize how far off track you are. That's why it's important for us to stay in the Word, stay with other believers, and God will keep our feet on the path that leads to life. Brother Jim, would you get that video ready? I've got a video of a testimony that I thought was very relevant to what we're talking about right now, about getting away from God or being so far away from God that we think we're doing good. And this individual had an experience with God, and it was life-changing for him. So it's about 3.5 minutes long. So it was about 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Jim, go ahead and stop it.
When an Iranian ex-Hezbollah shows up in Israel, everyone wants to know why I'm here.
You were born in Iran.
Correct.
You were a Hezbollah fighter for 3 years.
Correct. I was on my way to the United States to convert Christians into Islam. And I had 30 illegal passports at that time. I was arrested, put in jail in Malaysia. I was a dedicated Muslim. Not only prayed the prayers, but I read the Quran once every 10 days, cover to cover. So I was very dedicated. In my time in jail, one day as I'm praying, a man appears in front of me, normal size, but his being shines like light. And this light was not a normal light. This light carried identity in it. You knew that he is holy and he is just. And instantaneously I knew I am not. Even though I had prayed so many prayers, even though I had fasted so much and I had read the Quran and I had volunteered to walk on landmines, or I had participated in hanging people, trying to please Allah. I knew, even though I have kept all the rules and regulations of Islam, I knew I'm not just, and I'm not holy.
This sensational toy is taking US by storm. An engineering student named Alex designed Galaxy.
And I knew the only just thing for him to do is to kill me. But I didn't want to die. So I ran to the corner of the room, literally held my head in my arms and just cried out, shouting, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And I didn't think he will forgive me because he is just. Till I felt a touch on my left shoulder. And he said, I forgive you. And I felt a weight just lifted off me. And I knew I'm forgiven, but I don't know how. And I was confused. I was like, okay, I don't understand. Only God can forgive you. Just forgive me. You are God. But you are a different God than the one I have studied about. This is not Allah. So who are you that forgives me and I feel forgiven today? And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I thought, that's very powerful. It means a lot, because as a Muslim, you pray, ihdina sirata mustaqim, show me the straight path, kind of thing. And so the way is a direction, truth is something you measure, life is a source. But he claims to be all those three. I never thought the way is a person. The truth is a person, and life is a person, and all of them is the same person. So I said, I don't understand. What is your name? And he said, Jesus Christ. And someone grabbed all my bones out of my body. I just fell like a piece of meat to the ground, and I just began to weep.
What changed after that?
It's like, you know, being colorblind. And then suddenly you see colors again. And you realize the world is so much more beautiful. than you ever thought. If you ask me what made the world so colorless, it's the hatred, the anger that is in the heart of every Muslim.
So I wanted to share that testimony, and I think Pastor Darice sent it out on the WhatsApp, and it just kind of hit me for a couple of reasons. First of all, I was checked because I was like, okay, is this real? I was checked. I was like, okay, is this real? And I'm like, God still visits people. I believe that with my whole heart. And so I'm going to declare that this person had an experience with Jesus just because I've never had that same experience. I mean, we know the Apostle Paul. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus, right? And you see in Scripture when people either come face to face with an angel or, you know, they come in the presence of God, sometimes their strength just leaves them. And that's what he was saying. He felt like somebody pulled all the bones out of his body. He had no strength. He just went down on the floor. And so I thought this was relevant because this man had devoted his life to serving Allah, as he called him. And he read the Quran through, I don't know if you caught that, he read the Quran through once every 10 days, cover to cover. How many of us Christians read the Bible from cover to cover in 1 year? This guy was devoted 10 days. And it took him getting into the presence of God before he realized he needed Jesus. So that's why I'm stressing we need to grow close to God and get into his presence so that we can see what we need from him. There's no other time we can read the Bible, and those are good things. We can pray, and we need to do that. But whatever we do, we need to get into the presence of God so we can see our need for him and then take what he's giving us. That's the coolest thing about God. It's not like he says, hey, you need this, 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 and this. Good luck getting it. No. He says, I've got it right here. All you've got to do is accept it. And that's hard for us because we like to work for what we get, right? Sometimes. Sometimes it's nice to have a handout every once in a while. I got home from work today, and my daughter had me a donut on the table. And we're talking about donuts again. Just said it right there. I didn't have to go out and buy it. I just had to eat it. And I did, and it was really good. So this leads us into the next area of this about building our spiritual wellness. And so we talked about assessing our wellness. We talked about making ourselves aware of that and coming into the presence of God so that we can be made aware of our need for him. And that's not the only reason, obviously. We're continually being made more like him while we're in his presence. And I want to read Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 through 24. And I alluded to this on Sunday when I gave the call to worship, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. But again, it's Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, and it says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." If we pray that as a sincere prayer, God is going to begin to reveal things in our life that don't really need to be there. And sometimes because we can have a worldly mentality and our flesh can have the upper hand, we don't want to do that. Because we know that when it's exposed, it's up to us to make the decision that we need to grow in God. We need to take the step in order to deepen our relationship with God. And so I want to encourage you this week, before the end of the year, take some time and pray this prayer. God, point out anything in me that offends you, or anything in me, God, that's keeping me from going deeper into a relationship with you. questions or comments? Pastor Alicia.
I find that interesting because I had a conversation with a lady this week that she asked me, she goes, does the Bible say to be careful what you pray for? And I said, no, the Bible doesn't say that, but people think that sometimes. And she said she's going through a lot of health stuff, and she's concerned because she had prayed that she wanted to stop smoking, and now she's going through all this health stuff that's kind of forcing her to stop smoking. And she's like, I'm afraid that maybe God's doing this because that's what I prayed for. And so we talked about the character of God. And I said, I don't think you have to be careful what you pray for because you have a loving Father.
Right.
And sometimes we may think it's hard, and we may think it's too much, but He is with us every step of the way to get us to where we need to go. So when we pray prayers like this, we do need to be prepared that, yeah, if you're saying, God, show me if there's anything wicked in me or anything that offends you, you're going to see some stuff you don't like. And it may come in ways that you don't want it to through people that you don't want to hear it from. But ultimately, it's for our good. And He's going to walk through it with us.
Amen.
And He is a good Father. And He's not going to leave us in our mess if we're willing to truly seek Him. And so these are prayers that I think are necessary. If we want to grow and if we want to be who God wants us to be, then we have to be willing to pray those hard prayers. And there's so many times I've prayed something and it didn't turn out the way I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
If you pray and ask God to use you, you maybe have an idea this is how you want God to use you, and then He does something completely different, and it's really hard and challenging, but He'll use you. So I think it's good to pray these prayers, understanding God is a good Father, and it's going to be hard, but it's not going to be too hard.
Right. Amen. Amen. How many knows that the grace of God is sufficient to get us through whatever we're going through? Whether it's something that we have brought on ourselves, whether it's something that's strengthening our character, building our relationship with Christ, drawing us closer to Him, the grace of God is enough. So I think that the best way to build our spiritual wellness is to focus on relationship. It's to focus on relationship. And I think it's good to relate our relationship with God to a point, to a relationship here on earth, because if we want to build or grow in a relationship, what do we have to do? Spend time. So we have to spend time with someone. Even though I've been married to my wife for 21 years, if I stop spending time with her, our relationship will grow apart. It will. Even though we've been together and married for 21 years, that's what will happen. So spending time with God is crucial. Anybody else? What's another way to build relationship? Brother Andy.
Well, I hope this is relevant, but I work at Heavenly Pizza now, and I have a brother in Christ that works literally at the table on the right next to mine, and he's a believer and they're a Christian, and one of the coworkers was like, I heard her say, if God is real or if God is a good God, why is there so much evil in the world? And so my initial thought was like, well, what do you say about this, Holy Spirit? And I felt like I was supposed to respond and tell her, why would you think about all the evil when you can think about all God's righteousness? And I didn't even know it was scripture until just this Bible study. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, like righteousness, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So I'm just being very vulnerable. I've had a tough time with the whole hell concept. And I don't have to have a tough time about it anymore because I know my home is in heaven. And so I choose to think on that and how good of a God He is and how loving of a Father He is. And Jesus isn't ashamed to call us brother.
Amen. Amen. God never sent anyone to hell. Hell enlarges its borders daily. And so when that happens, people choose that path. It's a sad and unfortunate choice, but it's the truth. So God's desire is not to send anyone to hell. That's why he sent Jesus into the world, right? So anybody else? Building relationship. So we got spending time. So if I just like sit in the same room as my wife, is that going to make her happy? Talk. Okay. So we have to communicate, right? Now that would make me happy because I'm the kind of person I can just sit in the same room as somebody, sit beside somebody, and I can, it'll help me build a relationship with them. That just kind of helps me. But my wife will look at me like, don't you have anything to say? Anything at all. And so communication is very important to my wife. And so I've learned and am continuing to learn to communicate more effectively about what's going on with me. So spending time, communication, anything else? Pastor Darius.
Well, I want to read Psalms 25:14 on the Message version that says, God friendship is for God worshipers. They are the ones he confides in. So worship is a very important role in the relationship with God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is the point where the relationship begins to differ. Our relationship with God is different than our relationship here with people. First of all, we reverence God, right? And he's worthy of being worshipped. He's worthy of being praised. And as we do that, we come into his presence and begin to know him more. And it opens the door for relationship. Those are good comments. Anybody else? So as we begin to spend time with God, as we communicate with him, as we worship him, as we praise him, what happens is God begins to, I'll say it like this, open the door for healing in our lives. Because how many knows that we're broken people? And I used to think, I'm not a broken person. I'm good. I've got it pretty well all together at this point in my life. But no. Because when we get to that point, we have to be careful because we can cross the pride line real quick. And so God recently, even though I've been a Christian for, I don't know how old is Nellie, 20 years, for about 20 years now, I still need healing in my life. I can't come into the presence of God thinking I need absolutely nothing from him. He is my Father, and so I'm going to come into his presence, and he, in turn, will give me what I need. So this is a process. It really is. So as God begins to heal us and make us whole from the inside, this is going to build our faith, and this is going to build our trust in him. So it's going to build our relationship with him when we allow God to do the work, because that's going to build trust. We have to make ourselves vulnerable if we want God to do what he wants to do, right? How many of you is that easy for, to make yourself vulnerable to anybody? It can be very difficult because we're broken people. Sometimes we've been hurt by people that we trust, people that we love. Okay, and then we can put up these walls that will separate us to a point from people, and we roll that over into our relationship with God, whether we realize it or not, to a point we do. And so when we begin to bring those walls down through spending time with God, through communication, through praise, and through worship, God is able to do the work in us that he wants to do so that he can work through us. Because the work that God is doing in us, he can do through us in someone else. He can begin to plant seeds. We can begin to water seeds. And it's really quiet in here tonight. Either everybody's tired, listening very well, or thinking about tomorrow. I'm not sure yet. Maybe it's all three. I don't know. But I hope that you're getting something out of this and God is doing something in your heart. John chapter 15, verse 5 says this, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." What are we giving our attention to? What are we giving our devotion to? You know, as we go and as we walk in our journey of faith, I guess I used to look at faith like it was a destination. Look at my relationship with God like it was a destination, like I was going to get there someday. And I've heard it said so many times that faith isn't a destination or a relationship isn't a destination, but it's a journey. And the more that I begin to understand that it's a journey, the more comfortable I become in my relationship with God, because I don't have to arrive somewhere before God can use me. I don't have to make sure that I'm doing everything right. I'm crossing every T and dotting every I. I don't have to make sure that I do that. I have to walk in step with Jesus on this journey of faith. And it's exciting for me, and I hope it is for you too, when I begin to look at my life with Christ as a journey. Because I don't have this destination that I have to get to. If I'm walking in step with Jesus, my journey is going to lead me right where He wants me to be. It's not that I don't put expectations on my life. It's not that I don't, make sure that I'm above reproach. I do my best to do that. But there isn't this stress and this pressure to make sure that I have to do it, that I have to get here. There's a finish line somewhere in my life. Hallelujah. There is. Where that's at, I don't know. I used to think I had to get there before I could be a certain way in God, but that's not true. It's a journey. It's a faith journey. Amen? How many of you are on this faith journey? Everybody on the right side. I got nobody on the left side. All right, we got a few people on the left side. Praise the Lord. John chapter 17, verse 3. John chapter 17, verse 3 says this, "And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." So we have to know God. It is important that we know God, that we understand who He is through spending time with Him. Through reading His Word, we will understand who God is. He will begin to reveal Himself to us. Isn't that an amazing thing? That the God that we serve will actually reveal Himself to us and we can understand who He is. Anybody, questions or comments?
I was just sitting there thinking, have you ever had, you met someone and you want this person to like you, right? You're kind of like, well, can I really be me? Are they really going to like me? Do I have to be, you're kind of like just a little nervous. Well, you don't have to be like that with God, because He knows you. He made you. He created you to have relationship with you. He knows all the things that you do that are contrary to Him, and He wants to show you and reveal you those things, not to make you feel bad, but to grow in who He wants you to be, so that you can, like we've been talking about, is to build a relationship so that you can hear Him and know Him and just rely on Him to walk with you. You're not alone. You don't have to be afraid to upset God. You'll just learn to want to have a relationship. You won't want to upset Him. It just becomes your nature. The more you spend with Him, you'll start to be like Him. Does that make sense? In my mind, mm-hmm. It makes sense, but is it coming out right? Does that make sense? Okay. And you just begin to, He loves you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be, He just wants to develop you.
The more we see the attributes and the characteristics of God, the more we want them in our lives, because we realize as this gentleman said in the testimony, that God is a holy God. God is a holy God, and we want to be like him. So I wanted to touch base here real quick on something that Pastor Joe was preaching on this Sunday. And if you didn't get the word, it was an excellent word. Talking about stepping out in faith, and it was the first pilgrim, and he was talking about Abraham. Abraham, first of all, had to hear from God. And he had to know that he heard from God, because Abraham had to take a big step of faith. He left his family, his country, his home. He left everything, and he began to follow the voice of God in his life. And because he did that, through him, all nations have been blessed. All nations have been blessed. So I said that to say this. You never know. Get this pen in my hand and I start talking like this. I don't want y'all to think I'm preaching at you. But you never know what your obedience in Christ will produce. We have no idea the effects of our obedience, because we only see it through our minds. We only see it through what we understand. But we know that God is infinite, and he can accomplish exceeding abundantly above all that we've asked or even thought. And this scripture came to my mind the other day, and I hope it doesn't jump out again before I can say it. But it goes something like this, and if someone knows the scripture, go ahead and look it up. But eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. We can't understand these things in our mind because we have never experienced them before. So we're talking about relationship. We're talking about getting to know God. We're talking about getting to understand God. We're talking about spiritual wellness as a whole. So it's important for us to keep all of these things in mind as we think about our spiritual wellness and where we are with God. We don't even understand yet what God has prepared for us. We don't. We have no idea. Sometimes we focus too much on the hardships that we're walking through, and we need to focus on what God has in store for us. Amen. Somebody help me out here tonight. Lord Almighty, I feel like I'm about to fall down. Pastor Darius, help me out here.
Well, I think it's important to say this. That scripture that Brother Jesse just quoted in Corinthians, when he talks about the things that eyes have not seen, it's important that in this same page of relationship, we understand that the Bible continues saying that the Holy Spirit can and has revealed to us those things. And Jesus even said that the Holy Ghost would reveal to us and would tell us the things that he has heard in the throne of God. So the closer we get to God in relationship with the Holy Spirit, in communion with the Holy Spirit, we will be able to understand and know deeper the secrets and mysteries of God. It's very important that we know that God is so deep that our minds are not able to understand him fully, but he is willing to reveal things that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard in this earth, while we're still here, through his Holy Spirit. The great difference between Christianity and all the religions in the world, major religions in the world, is that Muslims do not have the relationship with Allah. Imams, or people who believe in witchcraft, priests of Santeria, or any kind of religion that works with the occult, do not have a relationship with their gods. Buddhists don't have a relationship with God. And there are many positions when it has to do in relationship with God, because every religion has a God. And even some people say, well, every religion is good because they all take you to God. Mm-hmm. And that's that's the thought sometimes for many people. But it's false. We all know that Jesus is the only way, not religion. But we also know that God is not approving and condoning those systems of beliefs that manipulate, that exploit, and also make people more slave than they were before. And they can call they believe in God, but really God, the real God, is not behind those systems of belief. So this term of relationship with him, it's something really that only Christians have the chance to have with God in a deeper way.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And this would sound really radical, but it's the truth. There's no other way but Jesus, and there's no other religion but the one that really embraces Jesus as the Savior and God, mm-hmm. and accepts that relationship with him.
Amen.
So it's huge that God reveals himself as a father to us. No other religion has that opportunity to call God a father. And this is not something that we created in theology. This is not something that we thought, it'll be cool to call God father, let's call it God. No, he himself calls himself father to us. So I got to praise him, because if I'm fatherless in this earth, I still have a father.
Amen. 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 Great comments. And it's so true. And it helps us build our relationship. And depending on what our earthly father was like, it can hurt our relationship if we relate that to our heavenly father. So we have to be careful to read the scripture to help us understand who our heavenly father is. Sister April.
Yeah, we have a Facebook comment that says, love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, and soul.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Pastor Joe, did you have a comment?
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, we're talking about stewarding things that God has given us. And I think sometimes we're not careful, we disassociate things, right? We compartmentalize, we pull things out. We think, well, obviously spiritual things, you know, we have to go to God about. But sometimes I think we forget that when we get born again, if we really understand the born again experience and what the Bible teaches, we have received a new spirit that comes from God himself. And the only way that we can take care of that is to do it God's way and be in communication with God. And we say, well, yeah, duh, but yet it seems like as human beings, we still want to fall back on natural ways to steward something that is supernatural. And while we don't want to over-spiritualize things because we still do live in a natural world, we cannot just do physical acts in our life to steward something spiritual. It must become spiritual. So, you know, you hear us, even around here, we say it a lot because it's important, but we say, read your Bible, pray, you know, even fasting or going to church. If we just begin to do them in a physical way, then we're just as guilty as any other world religion about our works.
Yeah.
And we think our works are what's developing what we need, but that is not possible without us being connected to the Spirit of God, which lives inside of us. And I started thinking about this when Pastor Darius was elaborating on the different world religions. And the thing is most religions, and even if they don't call themselves a religion, it kind of is, they don't believe in the immanence of God. They don't believe in that personal relationship with God. They believe that God, if they believe in a God at all, they believe he's transcendent. He's unattainable. He's untouchable. And he's just basically watching over us and watching what we do, but there's no connection. And while as Christians we say we believe that, my challenge to you tonight is, then prove it. If you say you believe that, then prove it. Prove it in how you conduct your life and steward that in your life. If you really believe in the imminence of God, that he comes down and he's personal with you, then why do you disassociate certain things that you do from God?
Yeah.
We almost act like we have our secular activities, right?
Sure.
Yet if God lives in us, know ye not, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us, then wherever we go, the Spirit of God is present. There is no secular thing that we can possibly do, right? And so what we get this idea is, well, you go to church, and we make church a building when church is us. And so it's really important that as we're talking about stewarding these things and letting them grow in us, the first step of understanding that is that there is no disconnect from God and us. We become one with him. Going back to John chapter 17, what you were referring to, we have become one with God. God lives in us, and he's not transcendent where he's unattainable and untouchable.
Yeah.
We are with him, right? And that is what's so important about Christianity that makes us so much different.
Yes.
And why
yes.
It's not many ways to God and all these other things. It's not that we're trying to be against these religions and they're our enemies. We're trying to tell them, no, you have not yet found the way,
yes.
The truth, and the life.
Yeah.
Because he is a person like that guy was testifying
Amen.
About.
Amen. Amen. Great comment. Thank you for that. And it's so true. It's so true. We have it good as Christians. We have it good. We really do. Well, praise the Lord. We've got just a couple minutes left here. And I just have something I want you to think about until next week. Do we make our hearts an inhabitable place for God? I'm going to say that again. Do we make our hearts an inhabitable place for God? In other words, a place where God wants to be. Do we give God dominion in our hearts? Do we really give him the throne of our heart? Do we do that? So just a question to think about. Do we have any prayer requests online? No prayer requests? Well, I'm going to share a praise report real quick. We had a new hire at the place that I work, and he just found out he was diabetic, having a lot of issues with that, and I was just getting ready to leave this job site and go to the next one, and God just grabbed me by the gut, and he said, you need to pray for this guy. And you know how we do sometimes. It's like, I mean, I can pray for him, but... You know, sometimes we think, what good's it going to do? I mean, come on, let's be honest. Have you ever had that thought? Like, God, I don't want to pray for this guy. And then make him think that you're not going to do anything for him. When really, hello, it's my faith. That's the problem. Okay. So, I went over and I prayed for this guy. I said, hey, I'm a Christian. I believe in the power of prayer and I believe in healing. Can I pray for you? And... But he got yes out of his mouth, and I laid my hands on him. I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that his body would produce the insulin that it needs, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. He was like, oh, all right, thank you, you know. This week, he comes in. He says, do you really do all that praying stuff you say you do? I'm like, yeah, I've been praying for you. How you doing? He's like, I woke up this morning. I've got no insulin, and my sugar is da-da-da-da-da, and I'm feeling great. Kind of looks at me funny. And I'm like... Praise God, brother. So it was a powerful testimony to him, and find out a little bit later on, he's like, man, I need to get back to faith. I need to get back to faith. So you don't know what your obedience will produce. Amen? So I just wanted to share that. So just join your faith with me. Will you do that? Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, God, and we thank you, God, that you are a relational God, and you love us, God. You sent your only Son to die in our place. And if that's not love, God, I don't know what is. So I thank you for that. God, I give you praise for that, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in your body. Lord, I just pray that you would bless each home, bless each family. God, I pray for safe travel. And I just rebuke the spirit of infirmity over this church, over your church, right now in the name of Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.